Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time delayed frequent flyer.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that never gets tired of trying to figure out what makes the Motion Picture Academy tick. That's always been the case, of course, but it's especially hard to figure out this year because the awards season leading up to Sunday's Oscar broadcast has been all over the place. We'll try to weave our way through all the conflicting signs and predict who may win, though our past efforts have been, well, let's just say that none of us could make a living as a Vegas odds maker. Well, I certainly couldn't. Regardless, we each have our own takes on this year's films, and that might be more important, because as always, we'll try to point out the likely winners, but we'll be far more interested in seeing who we think should win, even if they haven't been nominated. So let's begin by running down our choices for three of the acting categories, Supporting Actor, Actress, and Best Actor. And so let's start with Supporting Actor, and let me read the nominees. Supporting Actors, Yuri Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton, A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce, The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong, The Apprentice. MP, why don't you start us off?
Okay, I'll start off because I have something specific I want to talk about that's been called over time Oscar category fraud. Mm-hmm. And what that basically involves is, and it works differently among these different award shows. So, for example, BAFTA, they can deny the person that is put forward by the studio in any particular category. But the Oscars really does not operate that way. So we have this year what I believe in supporting actor and supporting actress are two lead roles that have been shoved into this category. And as a result of that, the two people, Kieran Culkin, Best Supporting Actor, and Zoe Saldana, Best Supporting Actress, both performances very notable, are in the wrong category, to my way of thinking. And had they been in the lead category, don't know if they would have even gotten a nomination. So let's start from there, and we can talk about some other travesties, because we have many of these Oscar fraud categories over the year.
So are you saying that Kieran Culkin is a shoe-in then?
No, what I'm saying is, it looks that way right now because he's won every single award you could win. Do I think he should win? No, not really. And I'll tell you two reasons. One, he's in the wrong category. Two, he's just reprising his star turn, his Emmy-winning award performance as Roman Roy in Succession. And so I thought he did a good job. He should have been nominated for the lead. So I would pick, actually, I hate to say this, almost any of the other supporting actor candidates.
So who, if you had a ballot, who are you checking the box next to?
Who I think should win.
Think
I
should
think
win.
Jeremy Strong.
Jeremy
should
Strong.
Win.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay, so his Succession co-star. I'm going to push back on one thing. I agree with you about the category fraud. And the thing that's bad about it is that you automatically have a leg up because you have more screen time than everybody else. I mean, some of the most egregious examples of this in recent years, Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Mahershala Ali in Green Book, even Daniel Kaluuya in Judas and the Black Messiah. All terrific performances, but they had a lot of screen time for being so-called supporting performances. So I agree with you on that. I will push back on the idea that Kieran Culkin isn't worthy because he's quote-unquote just doing his character from Succession. I've heard this from a lot of people. I don't agree at all. I think that he is playing a version of himself, and a lot of actors do that, and I think that's just kind of how the guy is. His character in A Real Pain, even though he has a lot of the same quirks and maybe even similar line readings, that character is totally different from Roman Roy in Succession, I would argue.
But, you know, by that same argument, Jeremy Strong is completely different from anything he's ever done as Roy Cohn.
True.
In The Apprentice. And I think he nails that performance. So,
And if you look at the two other, I mean, Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown, we talked a lot about his performance.
Good.
Guy Pearce in The Brutalist, that was a brutal performance. Mm-hmm. And then Yura Borisov in Anora, I mean, they're all good.
This is a really strong category.
It's
one of the stronger categories, but I think that Kieran Culkin is the shoe in here. He's also the person that I would vote for if I had a ballot.
All right, then let's very quickly move on to Best Supporting Actress. Right. And really kind of the same argument happens. One, let me read those off. Actress in a supporting role, Monica Barbaro, A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande, Wicked. Felicity Jones, The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini, Conclave. Zoe Saldana, Emilia Perez.
And Saldana, I think, is another shoe in here. She's been winning every award.
I agree. And I think that, for me, the two that stand out for why are they even on there are Isabella Rossellini for Conclave and Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. I think one thing we can all agree on is that Zoe Saldana is the front runner here. She's probably going to win. But I really liked what Ariana Grande did in Wicked. I thought she was terrific.
And Saldana is, of course, as you mentioned, Mary Pat, the other example of a – she might be the lead character in Emilia Perez despite not being the title character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she is the shoe-in. I have to say, without any disrespect to any of the nominees, this is my least favorite of the acting categories. I don't really care all that much for any of these performances. I think of the five, the one that I would vote for is Monica Barbaro in A Complete Unknown, just because – having to play Joan Baez convincingly and sing like Joan Baez, like, that degree of difficulty is high. I just was going through last year's films and just looking at all of these performances that would have been really fun nominations and off-the-beaten-path nominations, but they went with a lot of the usual suspects here. But I'm thinking of Jamie Lee Curtis in The Last Showgirl, Margaret Qualley in The Substance, any of the actresses in His Three Daughters who all submitted as supporting actresses. It was almost like a statement for the Academy. Mm-hmm. Saoirse Ronan and Blitz, Anjanue Ellis-Taylor and Nickel Boys. There were a lot of supporting performances that just got completely overlooked, even if their movies got nominated. And so, I don't know. I like the fact that Isabella Rossellini's in there just because she finally has a nomination. But I agree. I don't know if it's a nomination-worthy performance.
Well, she was, and I think Isabella Rossellini, I mean, you know,
she's a legend.
Absented herself from the Hollywood scene, and she just seems to be having a lot of fun at these award shows. When the Conclave group got the Best Ensemble Award at the SAG, I mean, everybody seemed to be having a lot of fun. But I agree that I think Ariana Grande, Dan, is going to be beat out by Zoe Saldana. And to my way of thinking, it was an incredible bilingual performance.
Both of them were great performances, both in terms of acting and in terms of singing. All right, now.
Well, I don't know if we should throw around the word great in reference to Emilia Perez about really anything here, but we can talk about that a little bit.
We shall.
Let's end this half of the show with the actor in a leading role. And the nominees are Adrien Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice.
I think this is a strong category overall, although I'm not sure exactly how Sebastian Stan snuck in there. I would have given him perhaps an Oscar nod for a different show.
A Different Man.
Correct, yes. But I think Adrien Brody, this is his category to lose. Timothy Chalamet's been coming on strong lately. Coleman Domingo, great. Ralph Fiennes, great. But I think I'm fine with the win by Adrien Brody.
So I went back and looked at this. In the last two decades, there have been only two winners of the SAG Award for Best Lead Actor that have not gone on to win the Oscar.
Curious?
Okay. So in 2017, Denzel Washington won the SAG Award for Fences. Casey Affleck went on to win the Oscar for Manchester by the Sea that year. Then in 2021, the late Chadwick Boseman won the SAG for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
But
Anthony Hopkins went on to win the Oscar. In both of those cases, those two Oscar winners had previously won the BAFTA. So basically, if you win either the BAFTA or the SAG, you still have a shot. And in this case, the BAFTA went to Adrien Brody and the SAG went to Timothy Chalamet.
Okay,
so
I don't
this
get the
is still anyone's
I don't get the
game.
Timothy Chalamet Best Actor performance. I mean, did he do a good job? Sure, it's a biopic. That's always hard. But honestly,
it's Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little one note overall, but that's just my sense.
But he learned to sing. He learned to play the guitar.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing. We talk about that degree of difficulty, which the Academy loves to reward. I also think maybe this happens sometimes where they go, well, we already gave Adrien Brody an Oscar in this exact same category almost two decades ago, more than two decades ago. So maybe it's time for this young up-and-comer to
29 years old. He'd be the youngest by 3 years.
And I also think that he's charmed a lot of people in Hollywood.
No, I think
and
you're right.
A Complete Unknown has legs. Like, it's still in theaters. I think that it's one of those four-quadrant movies. I think it's certainly more palatable than something like The Brutalist.
And how many people sat through 3 hours of The Brutalist?
Well, I
the
wonder
15
about
Well, that's a problem. I mean, I really like Coleman Domingo and Sing Sing.
Oh,
I was disappointed that Clarence Macklin didn't get a nomination for Best Supporting Actor, who was in Sing Sing. But yeah, so this is an interesting category.
And I would say I'm not the world's biggest Sing Sing fan, but Colman Domingo's performance is my favorite of the five. I'm also surprised that Ralph Fiennes, because the Academy loves Conclave so much and they've nominated Ralph Fiennes before, I'm surprised he hasn't been sweeping this thing because it seems like it would be the right time to reward him and for a movie that they like. But he's kind of been left out. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. Many surprises.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll have a few more on Sunday. Anyway, that was the first half of our annual Oscars preview show. This is Movies 101. It's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcast of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to do more Oscar prognostication. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of this week's show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I began our look at Sunday's annual Oscars broadcast. Let's continue by tackling three more top categories: Best Actress, Best Director, and finally, Best Film. And the nominees for Best Actress in a Leading Role: Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascón for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison, Anora, Demi Moore, The Substance, and Fernando Torres, I'm Still Here.
Well, this is historically a much more difficult category to predict, and I also think this might be the least predictable category this year as well.
Yeah, the awards are split up all over the place.
Heading into the weekend, if you're just looking at, you know, stats and precursors, it seems like it's between Mikey Madison for Anora. She won the BAFTA, which was also kind of a surprise, and Demi Moore, who just won the SAG Award. But she sort of kicked off the award season at the Golden Globes,
right,
which was another sort of surprise win, and then gave this amazing speech that was talking about, you know, being a woman of a certain age in Hollywood and how I've never really been rewarded in my career. And now
I was
finally
a popcorn actress.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think the Academy likes to reward two kinds of narratives, because let's not delude ourselves. It's as much about narratives and campaigns as it is about talent in this category.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this category, they love an up-and-comer. So think of someone like Jennifer Lawrence or Emma Stone or Brie Larson, and certainly Mikey Madison fits that bill. But they also love a Hollywood veteran who maybe they've overlooked or who's making a comeback, and Demi Moore fits that bill. And I think in both cases, those performances are really strong.
They also like performances that are politically based, which is what helps Fernando Torres with I'm Still Here.
So I'm thinking about that, because if you're voting in your Oscar pool, those are the two safest choices. But I would not sleep on Fernanda Torres.
Well, she surprised everybody at the Golden Globes.
Exactly.
Now, that was divided up because she won it for drama. And, you know, some
Demi
of these...
Demi Moore
won it for musical comedy.
Musical comedy.
Yeah, I think this is a tough category.
The Substance is really funny, I got to admit.
Well, I think at this point, well, Carla Sofia Gascón, obviously because of some controversy about her past tweets, is out of it at this point. I think Cynthia Erivo, unfairly perhaps, I don't think that she's won anything so far, and so I think that's a problem for her.
I think they're waiting for Wicked Part 2, and then she
might
start
sweeping
things.
Be right, yeah, because that's more of her story.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
You know, I agree with you, so I think that's happening. I think Demi Moore will take this category. Mm-hmm. I would be fine, honestly, if Mikey Madison might be a little bit too early in her career, and Fernanda Torres, because it is an international film. I don't think she's going to succeed, but I'd be fine if she won. I'd be fine if Mikey Madison won.
And I got to say, I am thrilled that a performance in a nasty, bloody horror film has become an Oscar front runner, because the Academy just
loves...
Because
you love that genre.
Well, not all the time, but the Academy just likes to pretend that horror just doesn't exist.
But also,
and those performances can be really difficult.
But also, Hollywood loves itself, and it is a Hollywood movie.
It's true.
It's a horror movie, but it's a horror movie about Hollywood and the film industry.
Well, but it's also a movie that I think really hates Hollywood with a vicious passion.
Yeah.
So maybe they saw it and thought, oh,
hey, but
you know, they didn't think about it.
No news. There's no bad news. I mean,
No, it's true. So I don't know. I'm still not totally sure about this. I also want to mention because we haven't talked about Amelia Perez very much, even though we did talk about Zoe
Saldana.
But
are we going to talk about that when we talk about films?
Okay, I'll hold off on talking about it because the rest of the internet is talking about Amelia Perez, and I think we should get in on that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, we want to go to Best Director. And boy, this one is a category too. Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, James Mangold, A Complete Unknown, Jacques Audiard for Amelia Perez, and Coralie, I don't know how to pronounce her last
Fargeat.
Name. Fargeat for The Substance.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I did my best.
I was wondering.
Well, as you know, I was so eager to see The Brutalist and ultimately so disappointed in it. So I thought that Brady Corbett, you know, he's been giving a lot of interviews and doing stuff. He won the BAFTA for, you know, Best Director, won the Golden Globe for Best Director. But I'm sorry, I think in this category that the Best Director should go to Sean Baker for Anora. And he got the Director's Guild, the Writer's Guild. So I don't know. That's my prediction, and I honestly think he should win.
And talking about the Directors Guild of America, the person that wins Best Feature Director at that ceremony, it's almost always a one-to-one with the Oscars. It's not 100%, but it's like 95%. The last time that didn't happen was in 2020 when Sam Mendes won Best Director at the DGAs for 1917,
right.
And then Bong Joon-ho won Best Director, deservedly so,
right.
For Parasite at the Oscars. So it's totally possible that something like that could happen. But it seems like the Academy really loves Anora. And Sean Baker has been almost entirely ignored by the Academy up
to
this
point. Yeah.
And I love whenever a scrappy independent filmmaker becomes like an Oscar
Make
contender.
Make your film on an iPhone.
I mean, Brady Corbett, you could argue, is also a scrappy outsider, even though he's a
former
actor.
There's something about him that just rubs me the wrong way. He seems a little bit arrogant, you know.
And you know, that could
perhaps
translate.
Perhaps with justification.
That could translate because the Academy often votes in that way, where it's like, he doesn't seem like a very nice guy. I'm going to vote for this guy. They don't necessarily vote because they think that someone did a better job.
One thing both you guys were overlooking is James Mangold for A Complete Unknown. That's a very popular movie, as we've already pointed out. It's still in the theaters, and he did a great job. That's a really well-directed movie.
And he's made a lot of hit movies, too.
Yeah.
And Amelia Perez, I mean, honestly, like, I would not give a directing award for that particular movie. No. But we can talk about its possible benefits in the next category.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So let's move on to that next category, which is the biggest one of them all, Best Picture. The nominees are Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
Now, I'll bring up Amelia Perez here, even though we've talked about it a few times. And we reviewed it in full on the show.
And it was on my top 10 list.
Yes. And this is a movie that a lot of people have been asking me about because it seems like the rest of the world didn't hear about Amelia Perez until it became the most nominated movie of the year. 13 nominations. That places it up there with some of the most nominated films in history. It got as many Oscar nominations as Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Oppenheimer, you know, Forrest Gump, Gone with the Wind. Whether or not it's as good or those movies are better, I don't know. That's beside the point. I don't understand how this movie got nominated for anything. I wouldn't have given it any Oscar nominations, not for any of its performances or any of its music. I admired its chutzpah, as we talked about on the show, but I don't understand how this movie got as many nominations as it did. It seems like it's going to get shut out in a lot of categories, but I guess I just don't get why the Academy has embraced this movie in a way that it hasn't embraced similar, weirder, more experimental movies in the past.
I do think it is a combination of things that the Academy likes. So it has this musical part. It's bilingual. One of its stars is a trans woman. You know, so I think it has all these things, but it's a little bit of a mess, even for me who liked the film. I also have to push back a little bit on this Best Picture category because now that they've expanded it, I don't know if that's actually been a good thing. I mean, I'll tell you, the film that I think honestly deserves the award in this category is Nickel Boys. I was really taken by that particular film.
And if this category hadn't been expanded to 10, I don't think Nickel Boys would have gotten
it. And so that's why I'm conflicted, because a film like that would have been overlooked. But I think right now, Conclave has been gathering steam, but it's,
Conclave won the Golden Globe for Screenplay Motion Picture, won the BAFTA Best Film, BAFTA Best Adapted Screenplay, the SAG for Outstanding Cast, Critics' Choice for Adapted Screenplay, and Critics' Choice for Ensemble Acting. That's a sleeper,
boy. Well, and here's also the problem. Like, Papa Francesco is sick right now, and I don't know. I mean, honestly, that makes me sad. The whole thing makes me sad. And I don't know how that, if anything, plays into this, because honestly, he became ill before the voting closed. So that's an interesting feature. Honora, I still really like. I mean, I liked everything about it. A lot of F words, so people need to be aware of that. And so that would probably be my particular pick next to Nickel Boys.
I would probably, if I had a ballot, vote for Honora. And I know it won the Producers Guild Award. Again, it has a lot of love from the Academy. The thing that makes me question Conclave is that SAG Ensemble Award. Because
right.
in the past, that has been a pretty good predictor that the movie will
because
go on to win Best Picture.
Because it reminds you how great each of these individual performances was that make up the whole.
And on top of that, the actors are the largest part of the Academy
and
voting
look at this,
body.
And look at, you know, Isabella Rossellini, mm-hmm. John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci,
yep.
Ralph Fiennes, yep. you know, I mean, so that's a pretty star-studded cast.
And despite its subject matter, it's kind of a crowd-pleaser sort of movie. It's a page-turner kind of movie. And I think it's a shoo-in for Best Adapted Screenplay, which can also be a precursor mm-hmm. to winning Best Picture. I think it's between Conclave and Honora.
I think you're right. I think The Brutalist coming into it was a strong contender, but not now.
Yeah, maybe
one
it's
other
one.
We can't finish without talking about documentary feature. The Black Box Diaries, No Other Land, Porcelain War, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, and Sugarcane. Three of those we've reviewed on this
just
show.
Just recently, yeah.
Yeah, and those three are excellent movies. I wouldn't know how to choose between them, but I don't know.
I think No Other Land's going to take that.
Yeah,
it's been winning every award.
Right, and I hope that it does, honestly, because yeah. it was a joint production, as we talked about, between a Palestinian filmmaker and an Israeli filmmaker. And so I think that you want to sort of focus on that or look at that. I mean, honestly, since I didn't see Black Box Diaries, I'm very intrigued to see it, but it just hasn't been in a place that it was
available.
Porcelain
Wars.
Yeah, so, but Sugarcane is also very compelling. I would be happy with any of these winning an award, honestly.
And the last thing I'll say is that I'm, for the first time, looking forward to the host monologue at the beginning because it's Conan O'Brien, and I love some Conan.
Any rate, that ends our look at the annual Hollywood self-congratulatory party known as the Oscars. This is Movies 101. I'm your host, Dan Webster, and along with Nathan Weinbender and Mary Pat Truthart, we discuss both who we think will win and then who we think should win. Let's take this moment to thank Cassia Fox for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot, on the radio dial when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from Christine Lotti, a 1996 Oscar winner for the live-action short film Lieberman in Love. I'm more proud of quitting smoking than of anything else I've done in my life, including winning an Oscar. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.